Back in 1942, the citizens of Dolny Kub in Slovakia, led by their civic and church leaders, delivered the town's Jews for deportation to Nazi death camps. 70 years later, in 2012, civic and church leaders from the same Eastern European town gathered to confess the deeds of their forefathers. Speakers in the meeting included political and church leaders, and it even featured a member of the European Parliament. The final speaker was Hannah Zach Miley, representing Jewish Holocaust survivors. Hannah, of course, is George Miley's wife, and together they helped found Quellen International. What power can turn hatred, violence, and bitterness into confession, repentance, and shared forgiveness? Well, it's the kind of power that's able to transform the inner lives of people and make them instruments of healing the past, transforming the present, and guiding future generations. This is the power of the risen Jesus of Nazareth. He came so that we might become. The meeting in Dolny Kubin took place in the former synagogue, which post-World War II had been turned into a cinema. Now, that cinema is being transformed into a museum to honor the town's former Jews. You're listening to The Writing Room, a podcast created by Quellen International to share the words and teachings of George Miley.
Hannah and I were invited to attend a public meeting that was held in a building that until the Holocaust was a Jewish synagogue. This synagogue stood in a beautiful little town in Eastern Europe, Dolny Kub in Slovakia. The synagogue stood on the circumference of the town market square. All around it were the houses that Jews had lived in for generations until 1942. And in 1942, the citizens of Dolny Kubin, led by their civic leaders and sadly also by their church leaders, rounded up their Jewish population and deported them to the death camp of Auschwitz. That happened in 1942. Since then, there have been no Jews in Dolny Kubin, and what was the former synagogue is now a movie theater. This public meeting to which we were invited took place on a Sunday afternoon. It was led by the civic leaders, the mayor, a member of the European Parliament was there. It was led by the church leaders. It had Jewish representatives there, family from Israel. And Hannah was the final speaker representing the Holocaust survivors. And this public meeting was called by the leaders of the town in order to have public confession and repentance for that which their forefathers had done to the Jews. And the service concluded with a public litany of confession and repentance. And I want to read to you just an excerpt from that. Of course, this is the English translation of the Slovak. This is what the citizens of Dolny Kubin publicly together, led by their leaders, prayed. Lord, please forgive us and our fathers for every hatred and haughty attitude against the Jewish people. Please forgive us for joking, mocking, and letting ourselves be influenced by anti-Jewish propaganda. Lord, please forgive us and our fathers for thoughts, words, or actions which approved deporting your people to the death camps. Lord, please forgive us and our fathers for envy and desire of material possessions which belong to Jewish people and which people in our town unjustly took. Lord, please forgive us and our fathers who were not willing to take for your people risks We could have done more to save at least some Jews from death. Lord, please forgive us and our fathers that many people who had the authority and power to do something, often because of fear, were quiet rather than using their authority. What power is it that can bring together people that would make such a public confession? What power is able to do that? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came unto his own people, the Jewish people, and his own people did not receive him. His own people did not receive him. But wait a minute. Mary was Jewish. She received him. Joseph was Jewish. He received him. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was Jewish. He received him. Elizabeth, she was Jewish. She received him. The babe in her womb before he was even born, John the Baptist, received him. Simeon, the old Jewish man sitting in the temple to whom Jesus was brought after his birth to fulfill the ritual of the law, he was Jewish. He received him. Anna, the 84-year-old prophetess who worshiped God day and night, she was Jewish. She received him. Peter received him. The apostle John, who wrote these words of scripture that we read this morning, he was Jewish. He received him. The Jewish multitudes heard him gladly. On Palm Sunday, when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, a chorus of Jewish voices cried out those incredibly holy words from Psalm 118. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. There's no part in our Eucharistic service where it's more meaningful to me to make the sign of the cross as when we say those words in the Sanctus. The words that we sing in the Sanctus in the celebration of the Eucharist are Jewish words. They have come from Jewish throats for millennia. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. A Jewish crowd crying out those words. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 Jews received him. For the first one or two decades of the Christian movement, it was only Jews who received him. Since then, throughout history, Jews have received him. Teresa of Avila was from a Jewish background. I know a very well-known teacher in our day, Bible teacher. You all would know his name if I said it. And he's a professor of philosophy at USC. He said he learned more about the Christian soul reading Teresa of Avila than any other thing he's ever read. Cardinal Lustiger, the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Paris, died 3 years ago. Roman Catholic Archbishop. And he wrote his own epitaph. And here were the words that he wanted put on his tomb. I was born Jewish. I got the name Aaron from my grandfather. I became Christian through faith and baptism. I remained Jewish, as did the apostles. You and I, Gentiles, most of us, have been grafted into a Jewish movement, the Jesus movement. It's Jewish on its foundation. We are like a wild olive branch that have been grafted in. And yes, Gentiles have received him. The three wise men received him. They were Gentiles. A Roman centurion said to Jesus, Lord, I am not worthy that you would come under my roof. Speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I have not found faith like this. No, not in all Israel. And standing at the foot of the cross, another pagan Roman centurion looked up at the man who had just died on the cross. He had seen him being whipped. He had seen him being accused. He had seen him being taken into the barracks with all the Roman soldiers and stripped and beaten. He had seen him nailed to a cross. He had watched his response to those who walked by and cursed him and abused him and mocked him. He heard him say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He saw the peace that was on his face as he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." He watched as it was darkened, as the earth trembled, as there was an earthquake, as the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And this Roman centurion said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Gentiles have received him. I don't know why this story comes to my mind, but in another life, I was the director of two ships. And in 1978, we were taking the ship Logos to China. China was just beginning to thaw in the post-Mao era, and we knew we had an opportunity to take Logos to China. We sent our lineup people ahead of the ship. And the lineup man who went ahead of the ship had a chance to meet with Wang Mingdao. Wang Mingdao was a pastor, a leading pastor in Shanghai when the communists took over. He was a leader among God's people. And so the communists captured him, put him in prison. And after some months, he denied his faith in writing. And they let him free. Being free, he was so miserable. They went back to the authorities and denied his denial. And they put him in prison for 21 years and 9 months. And he had just been released when our lineup man met him. And I've never met Wang Mingdao, but I did hear the recording that the lineup man turned on when he was talking to him. And he said, his name was Peter. Peter said to Wang Mingdao, "Brother, did they persecute you? What did they do to you?" Wang Mingdao says, "You know, it's all under the blood of Christ." And his wife had a problem with him because he kept singing. She told him, "Hush up, they're going to put you back in prison." He was 80 years old, 90% deaf, and he couldn't stop singing. He was full. And he said to Peter, "Look, I know a song in English," because all this was the translation. "I know a song in English. You want me to sing a song in English to you?" And Peter said, "Yes." And he sang, "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies? Who through life has been my guide." Jews have received Jesus down through the centuries. Gentiles have received Jesus down through the centuries. What happens when people receive Jesus? When Jesus is received in a biblical way, what happens is that we become. This is the core of the Christian life, becoming. If we want to keep the main thing, we will emphasize becoming, and everything else will take place around becoming. That's why Jesus came, that we might become. The Christian life is not about doing. In the first instance, it's about becoming. Because what we do comes out of who we are. It's about becoming.
This podcast is brought to you by Quellen International. In our staff meeting this week, I asked the team to go around and share their favorite Quellen resources. So we're going to start with Cecily.
My favorite Quellen resource is George's book, Maturing Toward Wholeness in the Inner Life. I actually like reading it in German, Der Weg zur inneren Reife. And I find that the more often I read the book, I find something new in it every time. So that's one of my favorite resources.
Nice. All right, Wanda, your turn.
Well, my favorite resource is actually the YouTube, because I'm such a visual person. I want to feel like I'm connecting, or I'm like right there. And then, so when I go to the YouTube and watch George's teachings there, it feels like I'm just sitting right in front of him and he's personally teaching me a lot of things. So I think that would be my favorite resource.
That's perfect. All right. And last but definitely not least, Hannah, what's yours?
Well, my favorite changes. So right now, my favorite is the audiobook of A Garland for Ashes, which is my story. I think many, many people are turning to audiobooks. It's so nice to have the story told with a voice. You feel kind of connected. And although the story deals with really hard issues, it's almost like they're universal. The issues of forgiveness and how do you live life after a gross injustice and suffering. There is this interaction with the reality. And so I think that's my favorite right now, but it does change because we have a lot of stuff.
Visit Quellen.org to find videos, books, audiobooks, and so much more. That's Quellen.org. All right, George, here we are. It's our second episode. I think we're doing some big things. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, Mike. I'm so thankful for all the great contribution you're making to this.
Yeah, of course. No, I appreciate you taking the time every week for us to sit and kind of reflect on the teaching that we're just, that we just listened to. In this one, we listened to a teaching you did in 2012 called Jesus Came So That We May Become. And I think a great starting point would just to be to start with become what? What are we becoming?
Well, of course, the podcast tells the story of people in a Eastern European town, political leaders, civic business leaders, church leaders, who came to the point of wanting to really do something to express repentance and sorrow for the fact that their forefathers herded up the town's Jews in 1942 and sent them to the Nazi death camps. So when you think about that, you think, well, gee, what is it that brought those people in that Eastern European town to make that kind of decision? Boy, that doesn't sound very usual. And so what is it that brought them to that decision? It was something going on inside of them. And the thing that is going on inside of them was a transforming experience with Jesus. And the ministry of Quellen, the name Quellen in the German language means spring or source. For example, every river has a source. For example, the Rhine River, we think of that as being a German river, and of course it is, but actually the source or the springs of the Rhine are actually in Switzerland. It's from a spring in the ground that water comes forth in Switzerland and flows to make the mighty River Rhine. And so Quellen is all about healing the past through reconciliation, through speaking the truth, through asking for forgiveness, through giving forgiveness, through people who once were enemies being brought together in deep friendship and love. We're all about that. But how does that happen? Well, it's not some kind of external procedure. It comes from transformed lives. Transformed lives are the source. Die Quelle. And so become what? In a word, become like Jesus. So a real passion that we have in Quillen is that people might be able to experience Jesus as he really is. You know, so often people encounter Jesus in ways that he is not. And leave us with the idea, well, Jesus doesn't really have anything to do with my life. That's not Jesus as he really is. Jesus as he really is has everything to do with my life. In fact, he transforms my life into something that is painful, into something that is beautiful. That's the transforming power of the living Christ. And it's from that source that that story in Eastern Europe springs.
In this teaching, when you say the word become, I think it feels like you're referring to the process, you know, that it's an ongoing journey. It's an ongoing process of becoming like Jesus. And I think one of the things we talk about often is what is that, what is involved in that process? How do we actively engage that process, and how can we actively encourage our listeners to engage that process?
Well, the answer to that in one word is discipleship. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus began his ministry by announcing the availability of the kingdom. And then he chose disciples to follow him, to learn from him how to be like him. So what is discipleship? Even in some areas, discipleship kind of brings up the idea of pain and legalism, and you have to do all kinds of things that you can't do. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is simply coming to the point of saying, I now need to learn how to live life, and I am making Jesus my master teacher. So I'm going to sit at his feet, and I'm going to allow him to teach me how human life is supposed to work. He knows how human life is supposed to work. He created it. And so the wisdom of a fulfilling, rich, beautiful, joyful life comes from making Jesus our master teacher, following him, learning from him. Indeed, Micah, it is a process. It's a process that we begin with Jesus, and then he takes us step by step, teaching us more and more as we walk with him daily, weekly, monthly, yearly.
Thank you for listening to The Writing Room by Quellen International. This episode was scripted by George Miley and me, Micah Daly. Production, editing, and original music by Micah Daly. A special thank you to Wandalyn, Cecily, and Hannah for your help in shaping this project. The teaching excerpt used in this episode was recorded in 2012 at Christ Church Anglican in Phoenix, Arizona.